Welcome to the Two Wealth Show, a show that shares how you can create real wealth for you and your family. I'm one of your hosts, Justin Bogard, and my co-host is Elizabeth Sickles, aka Super E. I am a real estate note investor, specializing in performing residential real estate debt. I find the deals, acquire them for my own portfolio, as well as educate investors while walking them through the process of owning a real estate note. My co-host Super E, a real estate investor, specializing in short-term rentals and the management of them. She connects investors with short-term tenants and manages everything in between. Our show is sponsored by BrightPath Notes and Elizabeth Mayora. You can find out more information by visiting our websites at brightpathnotes.com and elizabethmayora.com.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 24 of the Two Wealth Show. I am Elizabeth with Elizabeth Mayora and my co-host.
Hey everybody, this is Justin Bogard and my company is Bright Path Notes, and it is such an honor to wrap up our season two today.
It is. Woohoo!
So Elizabeth, just want to recap with you and for our audience. We have had just about 800 downloads on our podcast form of this season two, which is awesome. We love it. Thank you, everybody. And we've had a couple hundred views on our YouTube channels between both of us. So we very much enjoy you guys checking us out on video or on the audio as well. So can't say how much more we appreciate you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again.
Yes. Thank you very much, everybody.
So how are you, Elizabeth?
I'm good. Just wrapping everything up. So I'm going to take quite a bit of time off at the end of the year. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. You're going to take time away from the business or just kind of take time away from the day-to-day stuff?
Away from the business.
You're going to step away completely.
Yes. My brain's already a little fried, so...
I bet you've had a lot of things going on this year, so you've been shaking and moving all around.
Woo-hoo. What about you? What are you gearing up for at the end of the year?
I am gearing up to get heavier in marketing. I would really like to get back to focusing more on my marketing strategies, and I felt like I lost some traction in the last 4 or 5 months with my marketing strategies, so I definitely want to focus more on that and get some more, get a better game plan and make sure the right people are giving me the right information as to what to do moving forward. And so I feel really good about where the business is at right now and I'm super excited for 2021. And yeah, I'm really going to hammer down on marketing and just really focus on that going into the new year.
Excellent. You know, it's funny you say that. We're actually, so I think most of you guys know, I have a business coach who she is phenomenal. And she actually recommended today that we go ahead and do a third party marketing firm to start taking care of our marketing. So I am excited about that. That seems like a woohoo, you know, that's a next level thing. So we're hoping to have a call, even though we are hoping to have a call before the end of the year just to get things, you know, roll and make sure it's going to be a good fit. But so marketing is extremely, extremely important. So I don't blame you.
Yeah. You know, I kind of compare it to like working out, or your goal for the New Year's resolution would be to like lose weight is what a common New Year's resolution is. Right. And so what it seems like, and I know I've fell into this trap before of you go get your gym membership, you go to the gym, you're excited, you're eager to get things going in January, you feel great in February, and then you kind of, the wheels kind of fall off somewhere between February or maybe even earlier, maybe in March, and then you don't go, or you go back after a few weeks of not going, you realize, man, this is a lot more challenging than when it was when I was going out at full steam, right? Well, I think of marketing as the same way. I notice, you know, when the social media isn't consistent and frequent, and the email marketing isn't consistent and frequent, and your messaging and all the stuff that you do for your marketing, if it isn't consistent and frequent, you really lose momentum. And momentum is so valuable when it comes to marketing that I realized this year, that if you don't make that your forefront of your sales, I guess your sales I won't say pitch, but your sales, what am I trying to say, Elizabeth? Sales strategy that you don't want to lose that momentum because it's really hard to get it back, right? And so then again, that's kind of what I compare it to.
It's an excellent comparison.
Awesome. So New Year's resolutions for EM, anything this year?
Oh yeah, we've got a lot. So it actually, I do have an offsite with the team. That's going to be tomorrow. So I'm very excited about that. It's so funny because my executive director asked me this morning, she's like, well, do you have an agenda for us? I said, nope, we're going to play. That's it. So we're supposed to be doing a strategy session. Like that's what the team thinks we're doing. Well, we are, but just in a very different way. But I have to recommend a book, Traction. It's by Gino Wickman. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who he is going to be on our podcast. He's phenomenal. Some other people have told me about this book, but it's really fantastic because it's all about getting your processes in play. And as your business, even if you're small, as your business grows and when you want to go on vacation and you want to maybe do a little bit of something else, you need to have those processes set up so somebody else is already doing that, or you can hand it off to somebody. The book is, it's a hard read. Like you can see, I'm not very far right now, but there's a whole, I have another friend who actually, he literally saved my business last year. He's a coach with Traction. Andy is phenomenal. He's out of Florida. So I just want to recommend this book to all of our listeners. Even if you're in corporate, just thinking about having your own business, it's a great, great book.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I've heard of that book before. I haven't read it, but I've definitely heard of it. And I'm glad you brought that to the attention of myself and our viewers and listeners. So thank you very much for that.
And I'll tell you this, actually, one of my clients and good friend, Liz Michael, she's fantastic. She told me I should read this 3 years ago because I had just moved here. And I bought it, but it was so heavy entrenched into processes.
Okay.
And I had just left corporate and I'm like, I'm not having it.
Your process overkill, right?
Yes. But now I understand it. And yes, processes are very good. It'll make your life easier.
So you mentioned something about your team doing some sort of offsite thing together. Is there like a trust fall that's going to be involved with this? Cause that's what I'm thinking about for EM's team is doing a trust fall.
Well, I can tell you there, so I love good food. So there's going to be very good food. We're going to Michael Cunningham restaurant. So he's a local restaurateur for those that are familiar with Indianapolis.
Okay.
So that is part of it. And the rest is actually, I have to text the team later to tell them where to meet me and what time. And we're going from there.
Oh, okay. So, this is all a shocker. You know, you should just pull up in like a black van and just open the sliding door, have them meet you on some corner and just get everybody in the van, just take off, squeal the tires and go. Just like in Old School, I think is the movie I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And I should suggest to our audience, like this is not me at all. Normally everything is, I'm a planner.
I can attest to that. I can attest to that. This is a shocker for me to listen that this is happening, honestly.
So it's going to be interesting. And I would encourage you to do that. You know, just anybody, any of our listeners is, or if, you know, you're having a hard time kind of getting out of your head and putting your thoughts down and what you want to do, just go have fun, go take a day off, you know, just unwind for a little bit.
Absolutely. You got to unplug, I believe is the word that I hear often. Unplug. You got to put down your devices and just step away from it all and just soak in why we're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why we're
That's
made.
Right.
Let's get deep today. Why are we made? That's right. Anyways, I mentioned earlier that this is the end of season 2. So what our goal is to every year. We want to complete a season of our podcast and our video cast here, and we will be coming back for a season three, just so nobody is disappointed. We will be back. We just want to kind of capture everything annually as a season. And so we're fortunate enough to get 24 episodes in plus a bonus episode. So we had 25 episodes in this year, and moving forward into season three, we got a new, well, we're going to upgrade ourselves just a little bit in season three. We're going to have a little bit more technology on our side, to be a little more friendly. So Elizabeth, we can do a live episode if we want to in the future. So maybe we should plan on that at some point on season three, is just to air a live episode. I don't know, are you up for it?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
No retakes, no bloopers. It's just going to be straight content right to you.
I like it. Let's do it.
All right. So like you asked me earlier about the stuff for marketing is going to be our main objective, at least the entry point of the new year. Things will slow down a little bit for us, probably starting right before. Well, actually right now, as we're recording this, we're actually recording this before Christmas. But so things will start to slow down when this is being released in a couple weeks. So we'll have time to kind of reflect on the business. I don't know if I will get a chance to step away fully from the business, but I definitely plan on doing that pretty soon anyways, because you're exactly right. If you don't think about that and step away, it's tough to recharge your batteries when you don't fully step away from the business, right?
Absolutely. And I think just all my years in corporate, a lot of times I was in automotive or I was in manufacturing, and we always shut down the end of the year. So I'm kind of used to that.
Yeah. It's like your internal clock, so to speak. You're just used to shutting down. I think in general, I remember back in school, in elementary school and stuff, everything would shut down and start being a little easier at the end of the semester, like the last couple of days. And you just feel like, okay, everyone's just on island time, right? We just do whatever we need to do and take our time all the way through the holidays.
Exactly. And kind of what's cool too is we are furnishing, we have a new property in Fisher. So that's our second Fisher's property. Very excited about that. We actually get possession December 31st. So we went furniture shopping yesterday. We got some really good stuff. We're hitting the new year, boom, boom, boom. So I want everything bought and then delivered. January 4th actually is that Monday, I believe. So, the team has definitely earned some downtime. They need some downtime. And then, we're starting off with a bang, so to speak.
That's great. And hopefully those of you that are listening or that are entrepreneurs or own businesses are thinking of the same strategies going forward too. It is the end of the year, but it's also the beginning of the next year, right? So it's just kind of fun. For me, it's fun. It sounds like it's fun for you too. And you can tell that you're an entrepreneur, Elizabeth. You're very, very eager, and you always have a lot of energy to move on to the next thing. I think it's what drives us to continue to do this, is what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And how can you be better at it and grow and eventually get, more team members? Because you've added about half your team members came from this year. Am I mistaken, or is that true?
Yes. For the cleaning side, I've added, I started that in July. So I have, I think there's 7 or 8 on the cleaning side. So some of my team, they only, my one guy, Nick, he only works on Sunday. So everybody has, kind of a different thing, but that's when Nick can be with us. So we take him for that Sunday. But yes, so lots of team members added this year.
Fantastic. Things are growing, things are moving. I want to touch on quickly just about, I know at the beginning of the year, we all had really good successes with just the economy and the market and in real estate. And I know March came around the corner, and we all know what happened at the beginning of March when COVID started and kind of trickled throughout the year. And it's still kind of going on. What kind of amazes me, just looking back, not as necessarily as a business or real estate or any sort of marketing or market investment, is just seeing how the numbers were and how much we didn't know about what was going on with this virus versus how much we know today versus how much the numbers are, Elizabeth. is quite interesting. So we notice we go from very few people being affected by this with having, you know, massive shutdowns, and discovering how we can maintain and control this and how we're receiving it and how we're getting it from other people. And then seeing the numbers, I don't even know how big in times-wise they were from March all the way to now. But I know looking at the numbers now, if you saw the curve from back in March versus the curve from today, you're just thinking like, why is anybody stepping outside, you know? But when we learn more about what's going on, we're not as afraid. And I guess, and so I really haven't seen too much of an effect locally and even regionally and with the market as it pertains to the real estate note business and even the real estate business, Elizabeth. I'm looking back, I'm just kind of shocked and thinking like, wow, this was a big deal, but it really didn't change a lot for, I think, the economy in general, you know, as a whole, right? We'll talk about the real estate economy. Let's not put the standard economy into this. Let's talk about the real estate economy. Did you see the same thing or did you see something different?
No, definitely. Real estate is still strong. You know, I think part of that is because the interest rates are so low.
Yeah.
And we have so many people that they want to get out of the inner cities now, right? And moving to the suburbs, you know, that's a big trend now. Just the fact that people are spending so much in their existing home during remodels because everybody's home so much more now.
Guilty. We've done the same thing. You brought up a real good point, and I wanted to kind of touch on this a little bit more, was people were moving out of the bigger cities. Okay, I've heard of that in other major cities across the U.S., most likely California is the ones I hear about the most. But even in our major city, Indianapolis, is, you know, in Indiana, where we're both from here, and I noticed that there's more movement to what I call village towns. I don't know if you've noticed that in your dealings, you know, every day, but I've noticed more of these small village towns. Like I live in a town called LaPel, Indiana, which is a small town. It's maybe 2,000 or 3,000 people in total that are in the town limits. And I noticed a lot of real estate was really happening in our small town. Like we lived in a house, we moved down the street and we sold our house within a day. And it's just like with multiple offers, and it's like, man, we live in a small town and we still get multiple offers. It's just kind of cool. So I think that when you're investing in real estate, even investing in the smaller, the village towns, you still don't have to be that worried about it. Because I know most people think of smaller towns and think, well, how am I going to turn this property over? I can't rent it. I can't do this. I can't do that. Who's going to live in this small town? Well, it seems like because of COVID, people are just kind of dispersing and just kind of spreading out across areas that otherwise they wouldn't normally think to go to. Because we're not that far from things that are popular, like the town of Noblesville and Fishers you mentioned. You know, mm-hmm. we're within 15 minutes of those places. So,
and just as an eyewitness, so I have a good friend in New York. So I'm usually there every other month. And I will tell you, even on the weekends, people are moving out. So
wow.
And we're in Manhattan and in Brooklyn. That's where I am the whole time. So that is as absolutely true. I see it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Mondays, because I normally stay that long. And just, you know, also kind of to the point, like you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I have commercial real estate and the businesses, you know, obviously so many people are working from home, but okay, so we're going to have empty commercial real estate. So what can we do to make money with that? Right? Because there's always opportunity. So what is going to be the next thing? So just always thinking about that, because there's something out there. There's something that people will spend to go to a commercial property to do.
Let's be fortune tellers for a second, Super E. So what is the next trend? And you bring up a great point about commercial properties that, you know, that I'm starting to see more and more of those opportunities, at least for sale. I think we all see some of these commercial buildings or these commercial strips are becoming less popular for, let's just call them retail businesses, like storefront retail businesses. And they're becoming more popular for more like, I don't know, like shared workspaces or just like office space. And so if I was a fortune teller and I had these skills, it kind of shows me that maybe 2021 would be a good opportunity to invest in some commercial real estate and be at the forefront of that, because I can see these empty buildings becoming more popular once this COVID thing kind of settles down and becomes, you know, a little more under control. And I can see more shared workspaces type of buildings for people just to get out of their homes and be, you know, in someplace else. So I don't know. Do you align with that or do you see a different path?
No, I do. What I think is going to be really interesting and what I haven't figured out is what's going to go on with the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
I mean, man, God bless these people. I mean, my heart just really feels for them. But there's got to be something like, I don't cook. I can cook. I still cook. So,
I have no problem.
So I always want there to be restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of a question that I have. Okay, what's going to be the next thing with, you know, how do you capitalize on that from a commercial aspect? I know there's a lady that's actually, she's going to start cooking for me. Her business has exploded because she does meals, right, for people. It's kind of like a Blue Apron or a HelloFresh, but okay. The meals are already made. And she has done phenomenal this year. So I think we're going to see more of that, which that's a specialized commercial kitchen. Right. So, So I'm really interested to see overall how people continue to adapt to that, but there's always opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, I can see restaurants having less, dine-in space and bigger kitchen space so they can accommodate the external need for, well, folks, I mean, myself included as well. I mean, I'd love restaurant takeout. It's tough to justify bringing, you know, your family and four kids to a dine-in restaurant with the risk that's going on versus being able to get takeout and eat it in your own home. And yeah, the ambiance isn't the same, but still you get the food that you want and you get that experience. So I can definitely see some tweaks for some of these restaurants, because man, my God, some of these restaurants still are thriving, but they're thriving in ways that are not dine in, you know, customers.
Mm-hmm. Which actually should be, I mean, I don't own a restaurant, so I don't want to step on anybody's, you know, any of our listeners, if you own a restaurant, but I would think that your costs would go down if you're doing more carry out because you don't have the employees, you don't have the, you know, the seating, you don't have to replenish the silverware, you know, because people steal it and it, you know.
What? People steal silverware? What kind of society do we live in? My goodness.
Exactly.
Right.
So again, I don't want to, you know, take that from anybody at all, but yesterday I did take out, there's a place called King's Barbecue off Keystone. The line is always a million cars long. So finally, yesterday, like, I'm going to try this. And their only takeout, it's in an old car wash.
Yeah.
So you just drive through the car. And I was like, man, like, she has so little costs, yeah. Right? There's no seating. There's no, I'm sure she has a lot of costs, but you guys understand what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, but there's good and bad with everything. Right. And it's just, I think the story is, and we'll kind of close out episode 24 in season two here. And my kind of closing thoughts are, you just got to be adaptable. We all had to figure out how to make our lives work around this COVID that's been going on. We've all had to figure out how to adapt to it and get around it. And it's just one of those things that hasn't been fun for everybody, or probably nobody has been fun for. But you just got to figure it out, right? You got to just keep moving forward. And these little pushbacks have made everyone realize and rethink what they do. And it's kind of almost a reset with either your personal life and with your business on how to figure out what to do and to be cautious and to move forward, or else, because you don't want to, nobody wants to fail, but everyone has failed a little bit this year, I think, over trial and error and figuring your way around it. So I just say, just keep moving forward and keep figuring ways to better yourself, to better your business, and to better your real estate portfolio.
That's right. Increase your assets.
Right.
So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us. And we so appreciate you being loyal to our show. Thank you.
Absolutely. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, and peace, joy, and wealth to all. This is episode number 24, the end of season two. We'll see you next time on season three. I'm Justin Bogart with Bright Path Notes.
And I'm Elizabeth with Elizabeth Mayora.
See you guys.
Two Wealth Show is produced by Justin Bogard and Super E, sponsored by Bright Path Notes and Elizabeth Mayora. Thanks for listening and watching for our show.